cold, faraway world. A battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
This is for our listeners. I do want to apologize for some audio issues that is within this downloadable version of the podcast. We tried out some new software for broadcasting this episode, and it broadcast the audio in a very choppy manner, and I was unaware of this during the broadcast, and it is very evident in this episode. So the audio is here. It's very choppy, and there's no way I can fix this, and I do apologize for that. There is also a couple sections that are edited out of this audio broadcast due to the Skype call dropping in the middle of the broadcast, and we had to reconnect, and it was a massive hassle. We do apologize for this. We will be returning to Google Plus starting next week to record, so the audio issues should not be present in the next episode or so. Again, we apologize for the audio problems and the dropouts, and there is no way to fix them. Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 125, recorded this evening is Plasticon.
It's only been a week, yet again.
Hello.
And Bryce. We also have a very special guest with us this week, Mr. Rick Alvarez.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. It's quite the honor.
We're trying a little bit different setup. We are broadcasting live on YouTube as usual. You can probably see we have a different look, kind of trying to improve our quality overall, and we hope that you guys enjoy it. And book and Twitter and so without further ado, let's get right into the meat here for tonight. We're here to talk with Mr. Alvarez, play with this too, and the startup that company. Rick, you want to get about you and your to play with this too, and then us a little bit about the company itself.
Yeah, it's a big bite. Well, I'm brunette, and I'm just over 6 feet tall, 200. So I was the creative manager for a couple years. I was in charge, along with a few other people, namely Aaron Archer, and we were the guys who were them. We were the front lines for all for our story. We worked with a number of different, like the Collectors Club, Jagex, NetDragon, Division, IDW. We worked with the design studios, Michael Bay, and all good things. It comes to an end at some point, and during the crack team of experts, made up of all guys who are either freelance ex-Hasbro employees, and we kind of set out on a mission to say, hey, we can still do this on our own, and we're going to make what we want to make, and it's just going to be as good as what everybody else makes. And that's how we got to play with this, too.
There's no reason why it can't. Now, I've seen some preliminary sketch pieces that you intend on the Pretenders line, some creative names for a character.
Well, if any of our characters kind of look like something is indicative of something else, it's when I talk to our designers, I tell them, look, you guys have free reign. Make it. You can do it in the style that you want to make it. But these general parameters, and be as cool as I see it, these guys are kind of off the chain. And they don't have to design something to see it the way it should be and worry about cost and paint apps and how much it would cost for packaging.
The typical things that, like at Hasbro and Takara, the typical constraints of have budget-wise to work on for a line of toys. Let's say, for example, Transformers Prime. You know, there was this character, but it just wasn't, or because of, you know, you had so many characters that had to come out. You not have that kind of constraint, or?
Well, when you talk about the indie toy market, I think that to collectors who are demanding a certain product, a certain quality, and when you have the versus like these big corporations like, say, Hasbro, that are trying to appeal to a people, and sometimes I'm not even sure they know who they're appealing to. It's primarily, they would say, to kids. And designed things that, hey, it can only have this much, it can have this much parts, it has to fit in a packaging that's designed like this, and it's got to ship by this date. Those kind of constraints don't exist for us. We've been working. The things that you guys are seeing is stuff that's been designed for quite a while already. For you, leading up to our Kickstarter in February. So we don't have to design something thinking, all right, well, this has to be this week. I just got to get it. No, we're able to take our time with it. We're able to talk about it. We shoot ideas back and forth. And then if someone comes with a design change a couple of weeks or a couple of months down the road, that's cool. We'll throw it in there.
Dolls, for example, you know, sharp edges, small parts. I wrote a blog, you know, like third party versus release toys. Some of the things that some of the main differences that we see, like toy design, that typically we see in official design. Now that's not all. I mean, sometimes, you know, official ones can really, like, wow, I can't believe they, you know. But, you know, taking into consideration there are, you know, said the general target market, and if there's a possibility that a kid can go into, say, Toys R Us and buy this toy and take it home, the indie toy market really doesn't have to worry about that. You know, it's direct to consumers.
It's accurate. It applies to us. I know, look, I'm around toys all day. My kids come in here, they can take anything off my desk. So up the crest on the top of someone's helmet is a little too sharp. We've played with this too, at least. If that's what you're trying to get at.
Well, I was just
personal standpoint.
Yeah. Well,
I wouldn't make something that's like a sharp.
Had releases that the points are like rather sharp. Brycey may even have something that's handy. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mastermind Creation Seeker props. They're very had like a fragile kind of feel to them. Not saying they were
fragile. Yeah. It's brutal.
Some of them kind of felt that way, but I mean, I completely on when it comes to the safety law thing. Myself, to see no more rocket punch, no more firing missiles, things friction fire. I would like to see spring-loaded gimmicks come back, knock them down. That's cool. And
when you're talking about action figures, I don't like to see those big bulky weapons that are very gimmicky, because typically what with those is people fall into these traps where, okay, the Rise of Cobra G.I. Joe toy line, all these figures had this huge weapon that was a missile launcher, and those were for kids. You know what? I troop build. I have 80 of those Cobra Vipers that look like Destro. One of those up, that weapon went right in the recycling. because to me, it's not something that to the fantasy of that figure for me.
Dark of the Moon.
Personally, I don't have as big, bulky missile launchers that are spring loaded or the friction one. I rather just have a really cool figure that has a lot of detail on the weapon.
I agree with that. Like myself being a Generation 2 fan, honestly, the only time I ever saw like the gimmicky work were like, you know, like the one that like the little disc, like rotors you'd find be designed the size it was. If it was a missile launcher or it was just a plastic stagnant gun, I'm behind that. I think that's actually going to give somebody a gimmick weapon. Give them something that's an actual gimmick, not just attached because you're trying to swallow it kind of thing. You know, go back to like the small plastic guns that they, same thing with the swords and stuff. That stuff's cool because it adds a little bit more to the figure versus just getting bigger without any accessories.
Yeah, I'm detail. And our figures, they're going to have a lot of detail. They're going to have a lot of detail. And they're also going to have a lot of 5mm ports. So anything that has a 5mm port, whether it's a B-Mog or a Transformer or whatever other toy, you'll be able to take our weapons and plug them into other figures too. So I think the only place we'll lose detail is with the 5mm and the pegs, but they're designed that they're almost part of it, if that makes sense.
Talking about the handles?
Handles, the little pegs that you plug into.
There's anyone over there.
Like the Armada line, there's kind of pegs all over the place that don't need to be things on our figures. They're designed into it, where the pegs were. On that figure, there's not too many pegs on him, because it just would take away of them. With a character like Astro Blast, you can have a lot of where you put those 5mm holes.
Being a Pretender's line, going to be just like a figure that you buy of that and doesn't have an inner robot, an inner robot gimmick or something that maybe a backpack or something. How are you handling that aspect? Or is
figures? There's nothing, just plastic. And each character has a small tech drone. Now the tech drone comes apart and say the wings can become a shield, the nose cone, blaster, the legs are backpack boosters on the character's back. So won't have an inner robot, but it has a robot companion.
That's
multiple things.
That just sounds awesome. I mean, I would love to see your take on like a version of maybe Metal Hawk or something. It'd be really sick to see like an aircraft that disassembles and then just mount him to make him like a flying version of something cool like that. I actually think that's really, especially with it having like a lot of articulation and getting some pretty crazy action too.
I can tell you, I assure you, I don't know who that character. But
yeah,
we have another character who does that, where there's some really cool jet wings on it, and then the jet wings can come off, and you can put that onto a small tech. It's just totally it's
awesome. Now
can't wait to see.
I totally lost my train of thought.
I asked it about the aesthetics of the ports and everything, mm-hmm. But it is kind of interesting. Your take on it is not so much shell, but that the robot is an accessory of sorts.
Yes.
Said drone, correct?
Yeah, they're our little robot companions. They're tech drones. Now, there is going to be fiction involved.
And that was my next question.
Who's creating the fiction for us? And I certainly hope that some extra looks and some people take us a little more. We got some big players on it. So these tech drones, they're fun individual characters. I would say they're very similar to B-Mogs in style. B-Mogs, because it's all 5mm. And little tech drone, you get a robot, you get a vehicle, and then that vehicle comes apart and multiple accessories that are interchangeable with other tech, other characters. So there's a huge playability factor with those little Tektrons.
Now, is there going to be like the conversion of the figures? Are they, will they, I know that you said some parts will be able to be reattached in different forms, but will there will be the type of figure that will combine like battle modes and
yeah,
and
no, I get what you're saying. No, it won't be like that. It's gonna, you got to take all these different weapons and robot, or you assemble them into the vehicle,
like a mashable type. You know, you could take like the head off of.
I would say it's like. It's a small
okay.
where I can take this guy's arms and this guy's or this guy's chest and like this guy's weapon, and
yeah.
some of them share tooling too as well. So you might see two guys sharing the same set of legs.
Well, that now, makes... oh, go ahead.
One question I do have, because I mean, most tackling anything like the Ultras, like the larger ones where. There's might be like a bigger vehicle, small guy that's articulated that goes in like little Tektron, maybe attaches onto there or something like that. Any dreams of that coming about?
I think cool ideas and some cool designs. And I think there's something akin to a Build-A-Figure.
Now, the figures that that you have designed right now that are like interchangeable parts, is that going to be only offering, or do you plan on expanding beyond, you know, the action figures and maybe or anything like that, or is, do you have what long if you can share them? I mean, I understand there are things you can't tell us about, but I mean like long range. Plans like I'm trying to
right,
ask
well,
a question
let me
that
we'll have about 10 characters, and then there'll be some of the be remolds of other characters, and then we're additional characters that will be repaints. Some might be older, some might be maybe Kickstarter exclusive. You can only get, say, a guy who looks like Astro Black. I don't know, maybe he's green and orange. Beyond that, there are additional plans for more figures harder that would be. And beyond that, I would say we've engaged a few potentially looking to get a license maybe in the year 2016. It's a possibility. But there's no plans for, I would say there's no plans right now. A vehicle or a playset.
Okay. I think pretty much what I was trying to ask. I understand there's certain things you don't want to tell us about, or you don't want to tell us about because, you know, the research and development isn't even a lot of things, I would imagine. So,
well,
you don't
as I said, we've been working on this for a year, so a lot more done than people might think. And there's a lot of time between now and in stages and show people a little bit at a time. And hopefully that will generate enough hype. Our Kickstarter launch, everybody wants to check it out.
Well, you've shown Desolator, and the buzz has already exploded. I mean, I know Facebook and the excitement is high, and just you've only shown two.
Well, I would say that it's probably a combination of who we are, guys who are well-known amongst different fandoms, and I would say that are nothing like any other indie toy company has tried to do. I think there's a special uniqueness to them that is going to catch on.
Talk a little bit about the people behind the scenes that you can talk about right now. I know you said the people that have not been announced yet, so you know those, but the ones that that have talked about or you can talk about. A little bit about who is on board with you right now.
All right. Well, we just announced this week Mr. Ken Christensen, who's amazing work. He was one of the first guys I worked with when I was at Hasbro. we worked on has the whole universe for Transformers laid out. A lot of that art was reused for the conventions where he has unique prints for sale. He's worked with studios. He's done a lot of the art that we for the initial pitch for Dark of the Moon and Revenge of the Fallen and Age of Extinction. He was the first artist on Prime before there ever was a studio. He did a lot of the mood setting pieces. And he's also helped stuff too. So Kenan is amazing talent that I'm happy to have. Mark Wong is a guy who's worked on a number of Minimates. He's done, in fact, I think he might have done all of them. He's also worked on some Thundercats statues. So who is a fan of Transformers, and that's how I met him. This is a guy who has worked on Transformers, not for Hasbro, but licensee. Then you get into Sure. And Steve is a shy individual. He's poor, but there is just raw talent on every Boys Tours, G.I. Joe, World, Robin Hood.
Wow.
He's worked on all lines. And Steve has this ability to just on the next day. And he'll just like, here. Like, yeah, it's done. And we've gotten, you read our minds exactly what we want. And he's one of those guys. I think he was at Hasbro for 28 years. And sometimes they lay people off, and I just don't understand why. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it. But this man has pure, unfiltered talent.
The things, I mean, I even in my line of work, go and people with lots of experience, and they'll come in, and they'll last a few. And they're let go, and I'm like, what? Why would you let somebody with that much experience go? It doesn't. We sometimes do things from a financial standpoint that we just don't agree with, but behind the scenes, it makes sense, and that's so, tough.
I mean, some numbers.
Yeah.
When my department was cut off at Hasbro. There was guys who had been there for a year or maybe moved from California. They moved their families, their wives, their children, houses in Rhode Island of all beautiful scenery. And they were let go. It's hard for me to, and you believe in them enough to Rhode Island. And then you just let them go. That breaks my heart.
It is what they've done. I'm sure there is a reason.
It's any company.
10 months now, and I've already seen it there. And, you know, I mean, given what happened to me, I mean, I drive a semi professionally. Last year, I nearly perished in a semi accident. I drove wheels off of a bridge, and it's something that I have to deal with on a personal level. And from a company point, you know, I was actually amazed the company that I work for stepped out and said, yeah, you know, they might have been just desperate, but we'll hire you. And I'm still there. They my work, they say I'm efficient and they keep me on. But yet then I see somebody that's come in from another company that's done way more than I have. I've got over 10 years experience doing what I do. And then I see somebody that come in that's got 30 years experience. We're going to have to let you go. And then they bring somebody in with a lot less. And I,
yeah,
while
like,
I
say,
don't agree
well,
with that,
I mean, that you might understand that.
Well, I mean, I can see where you're going with that, Jaron. I mean, it's understandable with the industry being toys and the film industry. That are talented, but if that talented person getting more money than they're able to offer, they're going to let go. That, or if they're there for so long that it's getting to do bring in anybody new, they're going to be more intimidated by how great these other people are. Sometimes that causes them to get rid of the veteran people as well. But that's where, you know, like Rick has and these guys, they're banding together to build their own toy line and they talent elsewhere.
Well,
and that's how it works.
Exactly.
It works that way with guys that draw comics, works that way with anybody that does move the same thing in every industry. My hat's off to you, Rick, for doing that.
I'll tell you something else about our group. I'm the youngest group. I'm 35, and I'm the youngest guy. I can understand how to try and start your career again as a freelancer or trying to get hired in a company, especially in the toy industry, since we're talking about toys. And so many people get let go from not just Hasbro, but Mattel. It's just the market's flooded with people. So where do some of these people go? And I think coming together and trying to start your own thing and saying, hey, let's do it our way and kind of show people that it is the way to go. And I kind of want to do right by these guys. You know, some of these guys are, I'll tell you, one of these guys is a personal hero of mine. I just want to do right by him. And that's why I give them the autonomy to the way they want to create. They have the Headshot series, which is a series of interchangeable heads. They can create whatever heads they want of anything in the world that they want to create. And it's just like, it's like the world.
I mean, it's like you said, you know, I mean, you can't expect, you know, whenever, you know, if you're let go with one company, that doesn't mean, well, I'm done. I pack up my bags and go home and do something. I go and do whatever. Not have the desire to do that, but if your forte, if your skills are in the toy industry, then it only makes sense to apply them elsewhere.
That's looking at this as, all right, this is not so much to make money, because one of our goals is to make this as affordable as possible, pass on retailers, so those retailers can in turn pass on those savings to the consumer, them as cheap as possible for the consumer. Because a lot of these indie toys, they are real expensive for one figure. And to me, that kind of shows that there's an imbalance. And there needs to be some balance brought back into the equation. We want to make these as cheap as possible, as affordable as possible for to purchase, so that we can attain in turn take that successful. So let's talk about it in these artists, because they can do this for us. So this is more let's make a bunch of money on our project.
Right. And to me, it sounded almost like a love letter.
while we're doing that, let's talk a little bit about, if you can, about your work at Hasbro, some of your favorite memories of working at Hasbro, and favorite things that you can say that you worked on there.
That you're allowed to talk about.
All right. So, bro, we started working on an MMOG for China. And I created this whole big binder, and Aaron Archer had given me complete autonomy to conceive of characters and stories, MacGuffins, weapons, and to assemble them all together, sent it to NetDragon to show them, hey, this is where the are. This is the world that they inhabit, and this is ideas and how you can use that world for what you're making. And because I had taken the lead on that, like a week after floor of digital artists, backgrounds, guys creating plants, launched in China yet. That was 3 years ago.
Well, we do know where I can edit out. But in the audio download version. But anyway, let me do this while we're Plasticon, if you can try to keep us in, I'll continue the interview here, and then we can continue on. We were talking about China and
Well, one of the best memories I had from Hasbro was actually not being at Hasbro. We were ready for our meeting. We get, and it's like 5 o'clock. We're like, oh, okay, we're meeting kind of late today, and waiting around. And turns out these guys are all in U.S., all like 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds, and to like midnight, 1 a.m. So on U.S. time, because they're all working Mountain Dew, which is apparently a thing in China. So it's like this, 30 course. And then they're like, all right, let's go back and talk. So after this huge meal, we had to go talk. And I think by 4 a.m., we were just like, all right, we're
beat.
So we had to, get adjusted back to a U.S. tool. So I got a free trip to China on Hasbro.
Awesome. Now, talk a little about you as a collector. While we're still getting these guys on, as a Transformers fan, boy, character.
I am a huge Beast Wars fan. When Beast Wars, that was like revolutionary for them. They actually looked like when I started collecting two of everything. But from that point up until I've been collecting at least two of everything. And then if there's a variant, so my cases are just filled and filled and filled with, just got shelves of boxed figures, carded figures, and it's just so much stuff. It's just so much stuff. But I got the Decepticon and the Predator, just like Ravage did in the season 2 finale of Beast Wars.
Awesome. So would you say Ravage is one of your favorite characters, or?
I would say, look, my favorite is always going to be Optimus. I'm just, the story revolves around him. No matter what people, yes, you can have side adventures involving other characters, but at the end of the day, he's Batman, and it comes back to Batman. So you can have your Nightwing adventure, your Bumblebee adventure, have your Windblade over here and your Ruckers over there. It all connects back to Optimus. And good always wins, even when they lose. Optimus is just that heroic character.
So the burning question here is, or monkey?
I am a truck guy, but I have a lot of love.
The
monkey is what's without Beast Wars, there wouldn't be Transformers the way we know it today. Whether you like Beast Wars, there wouldn't have been those movies if Beast Wars hadn't existed.
100%, I agree. And the Optimus Primal, he was such a great back in the early days before we even went with YouTube, full of stories. I mean, I'd love to have him again, just for the wealth of stories that he has. But him as Optimus Primal, you just can't compare. I mean, Peter Cullen is to me the best Optimus Prime, and I know that Optimus Larry Chalk did Optimus Prime in the Unicron trilogy and everything, but Optimus Primal in Beast Wars and Beast Machines, people I think that actually likes Beast Machines, with the exception of Nightscream. Cliff.
I do love Beast Machines, Viacons, and I always wanted to find a way to get Viacons back in, and that's how we got the Viacons in Prime. From we needed army builders. And I'm like, oh, the Viacons.
Yeah. But it's got a jet fan going on.
That's Bryce.
And listeners, we do apologize. Scott crapped out. Minutes to get everybody back on. We did continue to broadcast calls here, but we are going. Let's get back to Play With This 2. Is there anything that you want to Play With This 2?
Well, we are not just about figures. We're also going to offer some incredible art from the fandom and kind of bring them into the fold. So, who have questions about design, who are artists, who are painters, who are sculptors, email us at designs@playwiththis2.com. And we've had email us pretty much every day. There's a couple guys that from those emails that will be working with us in some capacity. And there's artists in the fandom who I met at a convention not too long ago. And I've signed her. And who, just because she has in the industry before, it doesn't mean she's not qualified or not good enough to work with guys who have. So our first fan member, the first person on the team, not work with Transformers in an official capacity. So we're reaching out to the community, and we want to be part of this. So it's not just going to be recruiting people. Like, we'll announce her and show some cool art that she's done in the future. But we also do those headshot series. So right now, well, how else can we get fans involved? And thinking of having some fans design some one-of-a-kind headpieces that we can run them for this. We're not asking anyone to do anything for free for us. So it's just about us. It's about all of us.
Awesome. So it's like anybody that's a designer that really likes what is being done here and really enjoys toys and that kind of fiction and that kind of art.
I think it's for anyone who's a first collector, who's a Marvel Legends collector, who just likes cool, be creative. And this is a to maybe for the only time in their lives actually
question it's very obvious that this line of figures that you are creating is collector market. How do you intend market these as or distribute these, I guess, through vendors like online stores?
There is a plan in place. We'll first come to Kickstarter and determine what the future lies for us, because it's going to be a little bit tougher. It's going to be a lot tougher. The money we need to make the tools. So Kickstarter first place. And then post Kickstarter, we've been hit up by all the usual suspects, online retailers that sell these specialized toys. They've all reached out to us telling us, we want to carry your product. When can we have it? When can we have it? Can you show us? So we won't sell anything directly to the consumer. We'll have exclusives on our websites that we will sell directly. Nothing major, nothing real expensive, just things. But everything else will be through all the major retailers.
If you were to, let's say, I'm sure you're familiar with Maddie Collector and their line of like classics, it's kind of a subscription service. Yeah. doing something like that or in the future, or is that like a, or is it just
that logistically speaking, that a lot of people. So that would be tough to keep that record of credit cards that's secure, processing those orders, keeping track of who's moved. And it's just it's a logistical nightmare that I never want to doubt. Okay. You have a definitive answer on that.
So to defer from actually it being an exclusive that you yourself would have to manpower to do, would you be opposed to maybe selling it through one specific toy store for one kind of line that's like a couple that you make that are just designed a certain way for one only, say, online retailer or something like that?
Well, we've already been approached by conventions and retailers who have asked us about that. What exclusives can you give us and when can you give it to us? So there options available to any retailer who says, hey, what do you think is a cool idea? Hey, we have a cool idea. Is that something you guys want to do for us? Or we have lots of ideas, lots of plans. We just got to get through that Kickstarter. Without that Kickstarter, it's going to change everything for us.
You have a question? Or
once with the tech drones do you have so far?
With a tech drone. Now there might be some readers or Kickstarter exclusives. Those may not come. Probably the troop builders will not. Original character, new character will have a tech drone.
Well, I got a question. The tech drones, how they change? We can't use the T word, but how they change?
Well, I don't think anyone owns
With transformation. Yeah, let's go with that.
So,
before you answer that, while we're talking, I do have a image of astroblast2.com showing on the screen for the viewers. So if you want to reference that, can. they can actually, they're actually looking at it as you're talking.
Okay. Well, I can't, I don't see which one is actually on there.
It's the with the blue whip.
Oh, okay. So the colored image.
Yes.
All right. So whip is a 5mm port, so that'll plug into a number of places on the figure. It also works as a hose, so it connect to the back of the figure and then to the tech drone if it's sitting on the back of it, kind of like a fuel hose almost. That weapon that Astro Blast is, will actually become the nose piece of the jet mode for the tech drone. So that'll be the nose piece of it. There's another part which I don't think is shown in that image. It's his shield, and that shield is made up of the wings, and that will come off the wing parts, and you have your chest, which has the head and the legs. That can fold up, that can go on the back, that can go on the arm if you want. You can attach those to. So you can take that tech drone completely apart and deck out your character in extra weapons and booster packs.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you what your thought was about that are 100% against parts forming and what your response would be to people that don't like that.
Well, I look at it as how cool does it look on my shelf and how much fun is it to play with? So for me, it's a lot of fun to be able to pose my guy in a number of ways. Just give him whatever weapons I want to give him. And it's also cool just to have him standing in a the weapons on, or just a few weapons, and just have his little companion next to him. Forming has never bothered me. I think it's something that if it's done correctly, it can be cool.
Now,
I can see what you're saying about less, could be possibly less kibble, more posability, less bulkiness, stuff like that. I could. But you see what I'm saying? There's always two sides of the coin. Some want perfect transformation, but they don't like all the bulkiness. Hey, I'll take the parts forming as long as more articulation, it looked better, more aesthetics.
I'm a details guy, so I like to see details. And let's say if you had a shell, then you put something inside of it, you're going to lose a lot of that engineering. It's not going to be an actual. And stand next to your Marvel Legends or your Star Wars, it's not going to have that same feel to it. So engineering kind of restricts what you can and can't do. Same goes for a little tech drone. Yeah, you create something that's flawlessly transformed. What's it going to look like in jet mode? Well, it's going to look cool in jet mode and then in robot mode? Is it going to look cool in robot mode and then look like a meth mode? I rather just have stuff that assembled, it looks cool, whether it's a jet, whether it's a, or whether it's parts on a bigger guy. I just want it to look and feel awesome in your hands.
Now,
so part
the image that I do have that I'm sharing right now is the images of a Desolator, where it is outlines, and then you also attach in. And everything.
That's meant to show the potential articulation for it.
Now, do you intend on ball and sockets, or or is it just going to be pegs in hole?
There's going to be some ball and socket joints. There'll be some hinge joints. It's not. There will be the same. Some designs require. Jointed elbow, some don't, but the legs ball jointed. There'll be a ball joint on the head. And, we're actually in the middle at today. Actually, we had about the rest of the articulation.
Exactly how big these figures are going to be.
That's
a major question most collectors are going to want to know. Is this thing as big as maybe the original Pretenders, or is it smaller, or
what is it? Or are we going to get masterpiece size?
They are 6 inches tall. So their heads pop off. I'm using the Skeletor figure as an example. When their heads pop off, you'll be able to take their heads, put it on your He-Man character or your Archer character. So those 6-inch toys, a lot of them share very similar points for the neck. So you'll be able to take those heads and switch them around, and that's kind of what the head is. It's just a collection of cool looking heads.
Now, I'm actually come painted, sharing that image right now.
You'll be able to put them. Yeah, you'll be able to put them on your figures, and they're cool for Skywalker. And you want to put a female, we're making one, so you know that's maybe that one's for you. And then of course all those extra characters as well.
Okay. Now, I do ask the question. I'm sure a lot of fans out there are, and whenever I saw the names that some of these have been. Or I guess some of them may be just preliminary names, but it's close your ears, Skullfucker.
Yeah, so I saw that. All right, so the headshots, the guys have complete autonomy when it comes to design. And Steve Redinger handed in his set of headshots, and I looked at the names with it and was like, I really want to show this at RetroCon. I really want to have at the booth. So I had to come up with names. So there was a pilot, male pilot, and I said, that's Mad Wing. My daughter's name is Madeline Wing, and her call sign will be Mad Wing. So that's how you get that name. Oh, so that was easy. Let's call him Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this head, and I just don't know what to make, what the inspiration is behind it. I've never seen anything like it before.
It almost has a predator look to it. But, I mean, it has horns, which the predator didn't have.
Yeah, like Diablo or something.
Yeah.
Not a gamer. I have never played that game before. But I've never seen something like this on the figure. And I'm like, man, that just looks like a mean, evil creature. That's fuck yeah. And that's kind of how I'm responsible for that name. On someone or applaud them, hey, that would be me.
I like that, and it also shows you that you take risks, because it's obvious that with a name like that, there are certain fans, different fandoms that would actually not appreciate that. But the product, you're going to buy it anyway, regardless of what it's named. So personally, I think it's very, very. Very willing to go out there and do things that just isn't necessarily. Whoa.
You know, if there ever was a kid and there was like a shell figure base, I think we'd have to make that, if we were going to do something that was inspired by or something that harkens back to that, I think we'd have to do something that just to do in the 80s, and that was just make them African American. Because I think that who that character was and the voice behind that character. So not everything is the way we want to change them, design them the way we want to design them. So I make no apologies.
Well, I don't personally, I don't think there's anything to apologize about. Now, you've got Headshots Volume 2. I'm not sharing this image right now, but you have Blackjack, Moon Unit, and Zando. Yep. Zando almost has a hammerhead look to it. It's very alien, but yes, it's a very hammerhead shark. Well, I'll go ahead and share it here.
What I like about the headshots is I think they work really well. Guy in a suit, you don't know what's underneath, and you can just pop that human head off or that robot head, and you've got your alien Zandu head. You got your skull fucker head, or you've got that female fighter, or you mm-hmm. can take your head off the Desolator and pop it on. I think that there's going to be a lot of playability.
Yeah.
People make weapon packs, like Mattel making weapon packs for your figures. Well, that's cool, but no one's ever really just, there's a cool set of heads for you guys. No one's ever really done that before. Yeah, there's been a couple heads here in this degree. There's going to be a lot of headshots that will
offer. Thing with maybe the arms or legs, so that way maybe you can give one of them like a robotic peg leg, or maybe give them like hook hands and stuff, swap out as well.
Well, the hands will tangible, so they'll be different hands, and they'll work with 5mm weapon and stick it in, so he can have his arm form a gun. Get weapon of mastery. I don't know. So as far as interchangeable legs.
Thank you, Brett. Awesome sound effect there.
That wasn't me.
Was it something I said?
No. Wow.
Jeez.
Do apologize.
Oh, God.
Facebook listener, he a show right now, and he commented that he wants an awesome name. Crap.
Well, we can't take ideas from fans to them, so I think he just kind of crapped on that idea.
Oh. Bum, bum, ba-dum. Yeah.
We need those sound effects.
Actually, I have them. I just don't have them on cue.
You know what's funny about this figure in the deluxe line? I had that sound bite ready to go.
We actually used to use that quite often on like the Green Giant. I'd play the sound clip, ho ho ho, Green Giant. I don't know if you can comment on this, but your thoughts on other companies, anything that actually stands out to you as far as
I have a lot of indie toys in my house. There are some really great designs. That Scoria is absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful toy. That Quake Wave, beautiful toy. There's a number of great pieces out there. I'm a big fan of little tapes from KFC. There's a couple of guys out there who probably just needed to tweak some designs because there's been a couple figures, but as soon as I open them. But I think my favorite in the last year has been that Scoria. Just pure awesome. And
I believe
that is... Bring on that is simply amazing, and the love that was put into that is just you can love.
Brett disagrees.
Brett got 11 on that one.
I totally disagree on that. I had more problems with that damn thing, and I'm still waiting on parts.
You haven't got
the knees, the gun, the head, all of them were messed up.
Now there are go ahead.
Well, my whole thing is when. Third party, and I really like to call them indie toys more. When it comes to them actually going back and fixing the issue and addressing an issue and, you know, sending stuff like that out to repair them, I have to commend them on that. That's them taking money out of their own budget to fix what they screwed up to keep their name from getting changed. It's like,
you know,
Mastermind Collection. I mean,
I agree with
Mastermind,
you.
What they did.
I would agree with you if they did that. But they haven't. They have all these issues not been addressed.
Well, whenever I've had an issue, I just to my retailer. I've never had to contact one of these to get any parts. So I
shouldn't have to.
It's
really
been a little easier for me to place.
Yeah, you really shouldn't have to. The level that or the method in which distributed, you really shouldn't have to contact the actual manufacturer. You know, it's like with Hasbro. I mean, I've gotten some Lemon products from Hasbro before, and call Hasbro and saying, "Hey, my Goldfire that I had. Now this right here is Nightbeat at all, but I had a Goldfire that you could just hold it like this, leg would just fall off. I mean, it's just the pinch joint was loose." As it could be. Oh, I could have just took it back to the store. I didn't, but yeah. It's,
hey, Duran.
Yeah, rub it in my face.
No issues.
but you know, it happens. I mean, I worked in manufacturing for 5 years with, and I was in injection metal stamping parts of the production process. So I understand a little bit of how it goes. You know, you can produce quality, but every now and then it's inevitable. There's going to be through that aren't what you want to put out. My defect ratio as a manufacturer there, acceptable range for that company. I had Japanese management come up and tell me, you know, how phenomenal my was, and yet every time that I back and physically rework parts that I had made, it was embarrassing, you know. But you know, it's inevitable because tooling can fail, and parts slip by, and you don't catch it until it happens. But you don't go to the manufacturer saying, "Hey, this thing broke right out of the package," or "This is missing." You go to your retailer where you purchase.
Well, that's very true. But you got companies like Fans Project ship everything directly out from their company, so therefore they are saying, "Hey, any issues, you have to contact us directly." But there are times that the retailers get the item that there's an issue with it. Retailers like, "Hey, we need this to replace that." And sometimes, like, literally contact the manufacturer, you're going to get the part quicker. And sometimes that's easier for them to say that instead of going through this long process and then they have to take their manpower just to mail to fix the issue to whoever they sent the part out to. If you think about them in the middle, sometimes they don't want to deal with that. So that's how they approach it, which, well, I can completely understand that, because you have to think of it on a budget wise, anything to make. It's all the tooling to build it. That's what costs.
So brings up another question that I have for Rick. Having worked for a large company like Hasbro and now start a company, I know you can't tell us exactly how they handle it, but what are some countermeasures that you do to prevent prevent and defects? I mean, how do you cut down on what preventive measures behind the scenes? I don't think that's ever been.
Well, that wasn't my forte while I was at Hasbro. I see some of that. And of course, that's when you get your resin samples. Then you approve that. It goes to your plastic test shots. You approve that. You make your comments, tighten. And then you get your first. And once that looks good, you get a package sample. And then you say, okay. So there should always be a system. Responses in place. There will be for us. So, but I wasn't too with that while I was at Hasbro.
No, it's inevitable. Like with your company now, whenever you ship something, you know, may not be 100% perfect. Like we said, we prefaced this before. It may not. You know, I mean, it's that you're going to handle. Are you going to just send
answer a question that you
haven't
hope you never have to answer?
Yeah.
The way I look at it is, having had the experience that my group has had, we don't run into a situation like that. But I'll tell you, if we ever do, we do the best thing for the consumer to make it right in their eyes.
That's, I guess, the answer I was looking for, because I've had on some of their defects, and quite honestly, I was at the answers of some of them. I mean, they pretty much denied any issues at all, and it's good
for us.
Yeah,
it has to be different for us. We're here. We go to the conventions. We're fans. We want to shop for toys. We're on Facebook. We interact. We're friends with a lot of people in the community. We're going to be held to a different type of standard, I think, because the fact that we're stateside.
Yeah. Well, and it also helps The trust issue is because you guys for Hasbro, the people that officially made products that we and so we're familiar with the type of work that these toys and these lines and products are in good hands, and
I hope so. I hope our name kind of opens the door for people to look in, and the reason why we haven't announced everyone up front, because we kind of want to let some of the work on its own and for people to look at it before we say, and this person and this person and this person are involved in this too. So we don't want it to be so much individual. We kind of like want the work to stand on its own for a little bit.
I think that's the thing. I mean, we as collectors are the people that go out and buy these products. I said in my blog today, we buy what we like, you know, and we speak with our wallets. And a lot of these companies will live and die by what we say with our wallets. And if we like your product from Hasbro, we will buy it regardless or not. You know, it's put out there as, you know, we made this for you. You have to buy this. No, I mean, people will buy it too. And it's good that you understand that as a fan and collector, you will in turn be seen in your product.
I think I've been on a journey and kind of look at it as I've been on a spiritual quest. I've worked at a collectible toy store. I've worked at Toys R Us. I've been the guy who organizes the guy who attends the conventions, the guy who's worked for a company and made product. So I feel I have a very good frame of reference because I've seen so many different parts of this industry. To be honest, a lot of people have only seen the one side of we're the consumer. I've been fortunate enough to see the retail, the manufacturing, the writer, producer. I've seen a lot of this industry, and I think that's kind of prepared me for in my career.
Anybody else have any questions?
When it comes to the date of actually having that out?
It's going to be many people who tune into this world of ours that don't necessarily tune in. So that's kind of why we picked the date. It's post holidays. It's before. So it's kind of the perfect time for us as far as like a spot.
Awesome. I do want before we wrap up here to check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com, as well as Mega Toy Fan. I do want to thank you for joining us on TFYLP, and aside from our technical issues, I do apologize to you and to our listeners for the issues that we had, but overall, I think it's been a good show. I hope you've enjoyed your time here.
Definitely, yeah. I hope I... your questions, and I hope I was informative, and maybe as we Kickstarter, once a lot more has been seen and some more names, you know, maybe you'll have me on again.
I'd love to have you on. You're welcome at TFYLP Facebook group, on our Twitter, even on our website, on our forums. We'd love on there at any time to answer questions, to post news. And we hope that that we're a friend of yours. So,
thank you. I kind of agree tonight with Burr Icy because I've seen those posts for so long, and what that guy looks like, awesome. So I kind of feel like I met someone famous.
And he's sitting here, and he look at him. He's turning three shades of red now. But he does. Was for Repro Labels and does phenomenal work at that. And
Mr. Aaron Black, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, we actually had a formative interview. Anything you want to say before we wrap up tonight?
Well, check us out on Facebook. We're on the Tumblr. Our website is playwithus2.com. Coming up in 2 weeks, we'll be there. We're going to meet everybody. We'll probably be doing a fundraiser. And we're going to show off some cool designs and do some...
Awesome. Now, your handle, do you know what your Twitter handle is? Did you say?
At playwiththis2.
Okay. Or is that somebody else? I can't remember. I know I tweeted at you.
I don't
you.
Handle everything. it's spelled out. Play with this too. T-O-O.
Okay.
It's spelled out.
We'll on Facebook and everything for people. Thank you for joining us this week. And I see Brett and Bertha Castle Grayskull. Che Guevara, yeah. Thank you, and thank you, Rick, for joining us this week on TFYLP.
You.
We'll be taking a preview look at TFCon USA. TFYLP will be at TFCon USA. Stay tuned for any further updates that we'll have on that, and also on Twitter and Facebook. The forums here recently with the ability to integrate with Facebook and log in with credentials if you'd like. So check that out as well at tftalk.net. But we'll see you next time on Transformers for Your List. This is Weird Wolf signing out. Transformers, when the battle is through, only the strong will survive.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.